Well, good morning, everybody. Kind of like what Marion was talking about last week, it's quite a little honor to come up here, and I don't take this lightly. It's kind of scary. It's kind of intimidating. I struggle with this message for some reason. Now I know why, because I'll tell you here in just a minute. But, you know, the coolest thing about this church, and not because he's my father-in-law, but, you know, Dorman opens this church up. If you want to come up here, if you got a word, open mic. You know, Angie and I traveled for several years out on the East Coast, and we went to several churches, and I don't recall the church ever letting anybody do that. That was like a forbidden no-no. Matter of fact, we were at church one day in Richmond, Virginia. Great church, love the people. This lady got up, she said, "I got a word for the church," and pastor said, "Sit down, not today." I was a little confused by that because I was taught a little bit different. So, you know, it's just, it's neat coming up here. Look at there. You know what? Mic drop, yeah. So, thanks, Alan. So, just, I'll tell you what happened this morning. Struggling. Yes, sir. I can do that. On me. I'll take that. So, this morning, I've been working on this message for a while. Dorman asked me a month ago, "You want to preach?" And I always say, "Yeah, cause I like doing this. You know, I love being up here nervous and sweating, and it's, you know, it's a lot of fun." And so just struggling through this message, and I came up here early this morning, got here about an hour and a half early. I did everything on the computer so Lance wouldn't have any problems. Computer shut down. Got it all done. I'm not kidding. I called Jimmy. "Jimmy, come here. I need some help." Jimmy comes over. I said, "Jimmy, you pray for this thing." White screen, everything spinning, nothing got saved. It's been an hour and a half. Guess what? We got plan H. I told Mike plan B, it's plan H. We got the Holy Spirit plan. So, click, 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 put it all back together. Missing some stuff, so if it's not right, hey, we'll get through this, okay? But I think I got the majority of it. Satan's not going to win, I'm sorry. It's just, we're not doing this. So, everybody right now in our day and time is uptight. COVID's going on. It's train wrecked the world. Satan's trying hard. He's not going to win. We know that. We read the end of the book. And, you know, I'm gonna tell y'all something here in a second, and it's going to, we're going to keep our mind off. We're going to sit back. We're going to relax. We're not going to worry about COVID today. Okay? It don't do any good to worry about it. Worry doesn't add one day to your life. That was the very first scripture that I learned that really got a hold of me. My mother-in-law worries about stuff to worry about to worry about. And I tell her that all the time. It's so fun. But before we start off, I'm going to tell you all a story. And I promise you this will get your mind off COVID. When I was in sixth grade, I don't think I've told this story before, but if I have, sorry, stick with me. Sixth grade PE class, last period of the day. We wore white shirts, white shorts, white socks. And my job as the sixth grader was to go to all the rooms and collect the attendance charts. Back then, it was a little clipboard hanging on the wall. You write down, you know, 12 kids, whatever. And my job was to go to every room in school, collect those attendance boards, and take them back to the office and do that. So being the good little boy I did, I ran around every classroom, took my attendance in, went out to the playground where we were playing basketball. And my best friend, Eddie, says, "Hey, man, I like them red underwear you got on." I said, "Dude, what are you talking about?" He goes, "I see your underwear." I said, "Eddie, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Lift your shirt up." So I'm standing out there in front of 30 kids, and I go like this. I forgot to put my shorts on. Ran through every class, that little elementary school. Everybody could see my red underwear. So at the end of the school year, so I ran back in, put my shorts on. It was pretty funny. I ran back in. Got my shorts on, come back out, and didn't want to look anybody in the eye. And anyway, I got on about my day. And at the end of the school year, they did an award ceremony, and they gave me an award for wearing red underwear. Anyway, so all that being said, is anybody thinking about COVID now? Nope, you're thinking about this little boy running around sixth grade. Okay. So before we get started, Lance, put that picture up real quick. We got an announcement. One announcement. We got a new deal coming up here since, hopefully, there we go. This is our new It's our new Baptist shirt we're going to do. We got the social distance you needed. We got it. Okay, if you want to get dunked, we'll do it. All right, so here we go. So starting off in first isolations, 24/7. As for me and my house, we're going to stay inside. That's silly, isn't it? That's the way this COVID thing is. It's the silliest stuff I've ever seen in my life. So, all right, let's get real. So we're going to talk about, and I've shared this every time I come up here. I'm sitting back there and doing my thing, and God's doing his thing, and he throws the one word at me like he does every single time. And he said, persistence. And this time, after about 7-8 times, I don't question anymore. Now I know what it is. I used to go, what in the world are you talking about, God? He goes, persistence. All right, I got it. I know what you're talking about. You know, and Alan spoke about this and a couple weeks ago, and Alan always brings some funny stuff to the table. It's so awesome because he'll talk about a cow pointing towards the fence. And it's persistence. It's persistence. Persistence. Keep going. And, you know, and I'm sitting back there this morning, and if you think about when we get to the end of this, when you get to the end of this message, you think about how this all played out. Nobody in this church called anybody. Nobody said, hey, Julie, sing this song. Hey, do this. Hey, Alan, get up here and talk about stomping the devil. Keep on, keep going, keep going. Nobody made those phone calls. Coincidence? Holy Spirit. Okay? If you'll notice, we don't have programs. We haven't had programs in this church in 20 years. They don't work here. Because the pastor, well, it's been longer. I've been part of 26 years, so as long as I've been here, we hadn't done little menus, whatever. We don't sing three songs and sit down and do a word and then get up and do it. We don't do that. You know why? Because we follow the Holy Spirit. How many times have our pastor got up here and go, nope, not today. We're talking about something else. Why in the world are we going to print a poster out? Doesn't do any good. Might as well throw it in the trash. I don't get scriptures from Dorman. Doesn't do any good because he ain't going to follow that message. You know? So it's kind of funny. It's kind of a joke Julie told me this morning. Right, here's the songs. Now, you know Mike's going to mess them up. You know why? Because Mike follows the Holy Spirit. If he wants to sing a song, and so I've showed y'all every now and then, you can take that off, Lance. Every now and then, if you'll see the screen change colors, that means that song wasn't in that program. That means we weren't planning on that. It happened today. We sang a song, and so it comes up with a different song. Yay! We follow the Holy Spirit. It's so fun. We don't care. Praise the Lord. So, so persistence, if you look it up, is the ability to maintain action regardless of your feelings. You press on even when you feel like quitting until you achieve that important goal. Y'all want the exact way to figure out persistence? Julie, stand up. Give me your hand because I know you know all about this. Mom, 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 mommy, mom, 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 mom. Has that ever happened to you? Not one time with all them kids. Are them kids persistent? Did they get what they want? Probably so. What's that?
We don't do that anymore.
Oh, you do too. Don't tell me that. Phone call. Mom, mom, mom. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's called grandma. That's persistence, okay? So we're going to start out, and we're going to read a story in Luke 18, and it's talking about the persistent woman. Lance, you want to throw that up there? So I'm going to have to read off the screen because some of this stuff got messed up this morning, but that's okay. No. Oh, pull up Luke 18 on. Yeah, see, here we go. Just pull up Luke 18 on the scripture. That might have not got thrown in there. Tell you what, I got it right here. Y'all just ride with me. We'll do this. We got this technology. One day Jesus taught. Whoa. No. Hang on. Here we go. 18:1. Satan, I'm telling you. I'll pull my phone out if I have to. I got it. Three different ways. One day, Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. He shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. I think Alan talked about that this morning, didn't he? It's exactly what we're talking about, okay? And there was a poor widow in that town who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. Eventually, he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights, and I'm tired of listening to her. Even though I'm not a religious man, I don't care about the opinions of others. I'll just get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor, and she'll leave me alone. The persistent widow. So when we're going about our days doing what's going on, we have to be persistent in our beliefs. And, you know, keep going down. This is Lord continue. Do you hear what the ungodly judge said? That he would answer her persistent request. Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with the judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faith in his people? Right now, in the times we're going through, I'm going to kind of venture out and say just a little bit that that might be kind of tough. This, what we're going through is wearing people out. I'm so tired of this. I'm wore out by listening to all this mess that's going on. Is it distracting us from God? Absolutely. Now we're joking about everything. I mean, you got to do something crazy to keep your mind off of what's going on. It's the way it is. Kent hadn't been here in a few weeks. I think he's quarantined. I bet he's going nuts right now staying at the house. You know? It's just, it is what it is. So, let's go down here. Matthew 24. Stay in the passion. Matthew 24, 1. I told you, Satan. You ain't going to mess this up. I got it. Might take a couple clicks. As Jesus was leaving the temple courts, his disciples came to him and pointed out a beautiful aspect of the architecture of the temple and the structures. And Jesus turned to them and said, take a good look at all these things, for I'm telling you, there will not be one stone left upon another. It will all be leveled. Later, when they arrived at the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to privately where he was sitting and says, tell us when these things will happen. And what supernatural signs should we expect to signal your coming and the completion of age? And Jesus answered, at that time, deception will run rampant. That's where we're at today. So beware that you're not fooled, for many will appear on the scene claiming my authority or saying about themselves, I am God's anointed, and they will lead many astray. Does that sound familiar? What's going on with anybody? Absolutely. You will hear of wars nearby and revolutions on every side, with more rumors and wars to come. Don't panic or give in to your fears. For the breaking apart of the world system is destined to happen. But it won't yet be the end. It will still be unfolding. Oh, yeah. Happy days. Nations will go to war against each other and kingdom against kingdom. There will be terrible earthquakes, seismic events of the epic proportion, horrible epidemics and famines in the place and place. This is how the first contractions, the birth plans of the new age will begin. Yeehaw. It's getting ready to happen, folks. Okay? So, you know, the scripture, I lost it. It's only he that endures will be saved, and the same will be saved. Okay, so, if y'all been going to this church for more than a week and a half, you're good. It is not allowed not to be saved in this church, okay? I'm telling you, everybody, I think everybody's pretty well covered in here. Doesn't mean your best friend is walking down the street. I can't tell that story without crying. So I'm going to read y'all a story about this gentleman. And it's called 17 Inches. And I don't know, has anybody heard 17 Inches? Okay, well, if you hadn't heard it, this is going to be pretty cool. It's called 17 Inches. In Nashville, Tennessee, during the first week of January 1996, more than 4,000 baseball coaches descended upon the Opryland Hotel for the 52nd annual ABCA convention. While I waited in line to register with the hotel staff, I heard other more veteran coaches rumbling about the lineup of speakers scheduled to present during the weekend. One name in particular kept resurfacing, always with the same sentiment. John Scalinos. I think that's how you say it. John Scalinos is here. Oh man, worth every penny of my wealth, airfare. This is what people are saying. This guy's wanting to know, who in the world is John Scalinos? 1996, Coach Scalinos was 78 years old and 5 years retired from a college coaching career that began in 1948. He shuffled to the stage to an impressive standing ovation, wearing dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, a string around his neck from which home plate hung, a full-size stark white home plate. Seriously, what in the world is this guy doing? After speaking for 25 minutes, not once mentioning the prop hanging around his neck, Coach Salinas appeared to notice the snickering among some of the coaches. Even those who knew Coach had wondered exactly where he was going with all this, or if he'd just simply forgotten about home plate since he's been on stage. Then finally, Coach says, "You're probably all wondering why I'm wearing home plate around my neck. Maybe you think I've escaped from a Camarillo State Hospital." I laughed along with others, acknowledging the possibility. "No," he continued, "I may be old, but I'm not crazy. The reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I've learned in my life, what I've learned about home plate in my 78 years. Several hands went up when Coach Salinas asked how many Little League coaches were in the room. "Do you know how wide home plate is in Little League?" After a pause, someone offered 17 inches, kind of questioning if that was the correct answer. He said, "That's right. How about Babe Ruth? Any Babe Ruth coaches in the house? How wide is home plate?" 17 inches. "How many high school coaches do we have in the room?" Hundreds of hands shot up and the pattern began to appear. "How wide is home plate in high school baseball?" 17 inches. Everybody's starting to catch on. "College coaches, how wide is home plate in college baseball?" 17 inches. "How many minor league coaches are there in this room? How wide is home plate?" 17 inches. "How many major league coaches?" All the coaches' hands shot up. 17 inches. 17 inches, he confirmed, his voice bellowing off the walls. "And what do they do with a big league pitcher who can't throw a ball over 17 inches? They send him down to the minors. What they don't do is this. They don't say, "Oh, that's okay, Jimmy. You can't hit a 17-inch target. We'll make it 18 inches or 19 inches. We'll make it 20 inches so you have a better chance of hitting it. If you can't hit that, let us know so we'll make it wider still. Say 25 inches. Long pause, and he says, "Coaches, what do we do when our best player shows up late to practice? When our team rules forbid facial hair and the guy shows up unshaven? What if he gets caught drinking? Do we hold him accountable, or do we change the rules to fit him, or do we widen home plate?" Chuckles gradually faded as 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the old coach's message began to unfold. He turned the plate towards himself and, using a Sharpie, began to draw something. When he turned to the crowd, point up, the house was revealed, complete with a freshly drawn door and two windows. "This is the problem in our homes today, with our marriages, with the way we parent our kids, with our discipline. We don't teach accountability to our kids, and there's no consequences for failing to meet the standards. We widen the plate." Then to the point at the top of the house, he added a small American flag. "This is the problem in our schools today. The quality of our education is going downhill fast, and teachers have been stripped of the tools they need to be successful and educate and discipline our young people. We're allowing others to widen home plate." Where's that getting us? I think we're seeing the results of that right now. He replaced the flag with a cross. "And this is the problem in the church, where powerful people in positions of authority have taken advantage of young children only to have such atrocity swept under the rug for years. Our church leaders are widening home plate." I was amazed that a baseball convention where I expect to learn something about curveballs and bunting and how to run better practices, I learned something far more valuable from an old man with a home plate strung around his neck. I learned something about life, about myself, about my own weaknesses, and my responsibilities as a leader. I had to hold myself and others accountable to that which I knew was right, lest our families, our faith, our society continue down an undesirable path. If I'm lucky, Coach Salinas colluded. You'll remember one thing from this old coach today. It's this. If we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard, a standard of what we know to be right, if we fail to hold our spouses and our children to the same standards, if we're unwilling or unable to provide a consequence when they don't meet the standard, and if our schools and churches and our government fail to hold themselves accountable to those they serve, there's but one thing to look forward to. And with that, he held the home plate in front of his chest, turned it around, and revealed the dark black side. He said, "Dark days ahead." Coach Salinas died in 2009 at the age of 91, but not before touching lives of hundreds of players and coaches. Meeting him at my first ABCA convention kept me returning year after year looking for similar wisdom and inspiration from other coaches. He's the best clinic speaker ABCA has ever known. His message was clear. Coaches, keep your players, no matter how good they are, your own children, and most of all, keep yourself at 17 inches. Pretty good stuff. So, man, I'll tell you what. I was going to tell y'all, you know, I get emotional when I get up here. Everybody knows that. It's not a big secret. Lance told me why one time we were having a glory now or something, and we're standing over here, and I said, Lance, I'm tired of blubbering on stage. I feel like a dummy. I feel like I'm weak. And, you know, outside of this church, I'm a pretty rough, tough guy. You go to the doctor, you need some blood. I was pulling my knife out, cut my finger, say, here you go, doc. I don't have a problem with that. I'm pretty hardcore. And I get in here, and I fall apart. And my buddy Lance said, see, here we go. He said, when you're up there on stage, he said, you're real. He said, you're not fake. Kind of made me mad a little bit, but it's the truth. You know, when I walk out those doors and I'm in the world, yeah, I act a little bit different than I do when I'm standing here. So if y'all were betting I was going to blubber today, I guess you won. I convinced myself I wasn't going to, but I tell you what, this stuff is so touching. So we've got to set that standard. You know, I work for a huge construction company, and when we give our client a building, we set our standard way, way, way high. And if we don't, what I've seen in 35 years of doing this, our subcontractors, if we set our bar here, that's as high as they'll come. They'll never exceed what we think. We're going through that right now at work. You know, we've got a very demanding owner, and he wants this, and we're right here. And it's killing us. And we're getting there, and we're going to get these guys at this point, you know. And so after I read this deal, I was like, holy cow, man, this 17 inches applies to everything in life. You know, work, church, everything. If we have the standard. Dorman's got it in his lap right there. I got it on my... The Bible's our standard. That's our 17 inches. And right now, our world's falling apart. And what do we do? If somebody's not happy, they gripe about something. Well, we'll just change that. Let's cancel that. We don't want... Oh, let's do that. Oh, well, I don't like that sign. I don't like that flag. Let's take that flag down. Let's take that statue down. I don't like that. Our 17 inches is gone in society right now. So, persistence. If we're not persistent in what we do, following God's word and our plan, our 17 inches is going to grow. And, you know, there's so many examples of persistence, and we're going to read some scriptures here in a minute, but, you know, when I was going through this stuff, I think back to some of the most powerful people in the world or the most influential people in the world. And if you go back and look at their true story, the vast majority of them were failures in the beginning. And we found a neat series on TV. Don't know how I found it. Couldn't tell you how to get there, but it was talking about food that started the world or the impact of the world or whatever. And there's a story about Henry Heinz. Anybody ever had Heinz ketchup? Yeah, they make 50% of the world's ketchup. Henry Heinz failed, went bankrupt, couldn't do it, couldn't figure it out. Pressing on, tasting, do this, do that. Now everybody eats Heinz ketchup. Thomas Edison. How many thousands of failures has Thomas Edison had before he got to where he needed to be? He's got a quote that I really like. He says, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. I kind of like that. They told Elvis Presley he couldn't sing. You know? Michael Jordan. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. On 26 occasions, I've been entrusted to take the game-winning shot, and I missed. I failed over and over and over again, and that's why I succeed. Persistence. Michael Jordan's the GOAT. He's the man. Persistence. He never gave up. He never gave up. And if you take life stories like this and turn it towards the Christian life, if we keep doing what we know, what we're supposed to do, it's going to make a difference. Dr. Seuss rejected 27 times. They said, you don't know what you're doing. He's only sold 600 million books. Colonel Sanders, not a big fan of KFC. He's 65 years old before he got famous. Y'all know that? He didn't hit it till he's 65. I'm 54. I got a chance. Woo-hoo. Can't make fried chicken, but I got a chance at this. He was turned down 1,009 times before a restaurant agreed to use his recipe. Oh my gosh, what kind of persistence is that? If we have that kind of persistence, focusing on the Holy Spirit and the Word, wow, don't even know what to tell you. John Pemberton, the guy that made Coca-Cola, he was basically a druggie for all practical purposes. Passed out one time on a drug overdose, woke up, invented Coke. Sold it for $2,300. They serve 1.7 billion servings of Coke every single day. Wow. But the guy passed out in his lab trying to figure out how to make Coke. He was persistent. Why can't we do that? We get sidetracked. We get to listening to what the world says. You know, we get to watching the news and this and that. Turn that mess off, because you ain't going to get nothing good out of what you hear or what you see on TV or what you read in Facebook. That's a whole nother sermon. So I'm going to show you all a video. This everything got messed up. And I've showed this before, but this is like the most powerful thing in the world. I'd love this thing. I don't know if I could show Lance how to do it, so I'm going to have to come back here and do it. I don't know if y'all get affected. Like I do with that. That's God. Don't quit. Don't quit.
Hey,
yeah?
Go ahead and read Matthew 24, 12 through 14, Pastor. That was the scripture you lost.
Matthew 24, 14. Good 12. There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with a passion for God and others will grow cold. Keep your hope to the end and you'll experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of realms of heaven and kingdoms will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with a demonstration of the reality of God. Woo-hoo. And after this, the end of this age will arrive. So, I'll admit in front of everybody here that with all this mess going on, I've lost some of my focus of God. I get caught up in it just like everybody else does. And when you watch this, and this guy's up there screaming, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. That's God. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Give me all you got. Oh, man. Let me read a couple of scriptures real quick, and we'll wrap this thing up. All right, Lance. Exodus, you ready to get me started? Exodus 18, 23. These might be messed up. I don't know. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all of these people shall also go into their place of peace. I kind of dig peace. I kind of like it. It's a good place to be. Right now, we're in chaos. Galatians 6, 9. Don't allow yourselves to be weary or disheartened in planting of good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming. It's coming. 2 Corinthians 4, 8. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. Does anybody feel like that right now? Whew, we've gone through some stuff. We've gone through some hard stuff. Harvest is coming. Okay, Lance, where are we at? Romans 12, 21. Never let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. Right now, we're at the point to where people are lost. They don't know where to turn to. And if you're acting a fool just like they are, they're not going to listen to you. If you come to people with the truth and the Word of God, they're going to grasp onto it because they're going to realize, hey, there's something there. The Holy Spirit's going to move in and He's going to show that person, hey, listen to what's going on. If you're out there acting like a meathead, for lack of better words, what are you gaining off that deal? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Lance, we there? Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Not on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock. And then when you walk out the door, you're done till next Sunday. That'd be me sometimes. Not always. I'll admit it. Romans 12:12. Nope, just did that one. Sorry. Nope, I didn't. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. We in a time of trouble? Yes, right where we're sitting today. Don't give up. Where are we at, James? If your faith remains strong, even while surrounded by life's difficulties, that's today, you will continue to experience the untold blessings of God. True happiness comes as you pass the test with faith and receive the victorious crown of life promised to every lover of God. Woo-hoo-hoo. We got it. Yeah. Don't lose it. Don't quit. Don't forget about it. Put all that mess aside. Turn it off. Quit listening. Listen to what God has to say. It'll change. This message just kind of fried me because I'm the guy that's in all this stuff. Psalm 16:8, because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Does anybody else promise you do that? Can anybody else do that? Absolutely not. Your best friend will stab you in the back when it comes to the hard times. I'm telling you, I've been there. That's not what this says. Oh, man. All right. Psalm 16:8. We'll wrap this up. Because you're close to me and always available, I experience your wraparound presence every moment. Don't quit. Persevere. Persistent. Be the little kid. Mommy, 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 mom, 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 mom. I did that a bunch. I got a lot of stuff when I was a kid. I was kind of spoiled, but that's why my mom got tired of it. She did the same thing the judge did. Shut up here. Go play in the road. I don't care. You know, do what you want to do. Jump your bike off the roof. Hey, if that makes you happy, go ahead. Persistence. If you're persistent in your faith will grow. Your problems will start melting away. All the COVID, all the crud, we'll call it, will disappear out of your life. It's so refreshing just thinking about if you're driving down the road and whatever, and I commute a little bit at work, so I got a little bit of downtime, just to turn everything off, turn the radio off, and just go, what do you got, God? And there's always something there, always something there. Always. So, keep your eyes on God. Stay at 17 inches. That's the coolest story I ever heard. That's so awesome. 17 inches. Keep that standard. Keep that standard. 17 inches. Persevere. Mommy, mommy, mommy. Keep chasing after God. You'll catch Him, I promise. Don't give a foothold to the devil. He tried this morning. Not today, Satan. We pulled it off. I got three more ways to do this if we didn't. Plan H. Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for this word. God, thank you for giving us a refreshing of your Holy Spirit. This morning, praise God, was so awesome. And we love singing about you and singing with you. And we know that you're singing over us, as Zephaniah says. God, we just ask that your presence just be with us nonstop during the day and help us keep our mind focused on you and not the problems of the world. Father, we know that we know you're winning. We know you're going to win. You already won. We read the end of the book. Thank you for blessing this church, Lord. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to get up here and spread your word and share my heart. Father, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.